and the meditations of my heart. Be acceptable to you, my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. This morning's readings are all about call. The call Isaiah prophesied that we have come to understand refers to Jesus. The call of new Christians in Corinth, acknowledged by St. Paul, and the call to ministry of the earliest disciples of Jesus in response to the testimony of John the Baptist. Call, or vocation, is a term regularly used in the church and can be impossible to articulate. Those who feel called know and are convinced of their calling in many and various ways, but in common, they have a deeply held conviction that what they are doing is right. They come to realize their calling through reading scripture, through prayer, and conversations with other people, particularly other prayerful people, open to the promptings of the Spirit. Sometimes that call on their life may mean moving to another country, amongst another culture, miles from your family and loved ones, all the while being obedient to the one who has called you. Hearing the words of the scripture readings this morning may give some of us cause to pause and reflect on our own understanding and experience of call. It is not unusual to hear through scripture sometimes the things we need to hear, which is why we must never stop reading, hearing, and trying to understand the Bible. Because even when we think we get something straight in our minds, our circumstances and experiences can change and cause our understanding to shift too. We need always to approach the Bible with an open mind. Just think of that. Those readings we had today, many of you would have heard them more than once. And I can possibly guarantee that when you heard them the first time, it had a totally different meaning to you to how you've heard them today. Because you're not the same person that heard them that first time. So they're ever evolving with your life. We also need to accept that God can call us to specific ministry through Scripture. As we hear a passage afresh, we can come to a clear understanding of God's plan for us. Call can also come through encounters with other people, and often when we least expect it. Life would be so much easier if God communicated with us by sending messages in neon lights that we couldn't miss, or a letter in triplicate that we could read and reread until we were sure of what he wanted of us. But unfortunately, it doesn't work like that. Call comes through gradual confidence in what we hear through prayer and reflection. Sometimes with moments of clarity and a little eureka in the midst of things. Funny how it's epiphany at the moment. But for most of us, it is a lifetime journey to truly perceive what God's plan for us will look like. Yet this journey has to begin somewhere. There must be a moment when we recognize that we are open to God's call. When we begin to listen, when we make some commitment to acknowledge that God moves in our lives and has a purpose for us. When we think of a call to ordain ministry, one may think it's easy for us, the clergy, that we get a sense of call to be ministers, and that's when it all happens, and that it's different for everyone else. But that is simply not so. When the late Pope Francis, early in his papacy, was asked by journalists what the most important day of his life had been, he didn't cite his election as Pope or his consecration as bishop. He didn't even mention his ordination to the priesthood. Rather, he said, without hesitation, the day of his baptism, because that was the day he was made one with Christ. Everything else that happened to Pope Francis flowed out of the waters of baptism. So it is with us. At the time of our baptism, our journey with Christ began. Not that he didn't know us before, rather that we, through our own choice or the actions of parents and godparents, acknowledged that he was there, already loving us. And we opened the possibility of hearing the call he would make to us, the challenge he would issue to us. As Isaiah reminds us, the Lord called me from before I was born. He named me from my mother's womb. And so it was with Jesus. From his baptism, he began to fulfill the call issued to him from the Father. At his moment of baptism, just like ours, he and God came together. And as Jesus began to do God's work, so he began to draw attention to himself. One by one, people wanted to listen to him, then talk to him, then want to know him better. And today's gospel gives us a glimpse of how life-changing an encounter with Jesus could be. Some people found Jesus on their own. Others told relatives and friends and drew them to Jesus also. So not only just being called, but also bearing witness. Have you ever bragged about someone else? Maybe you've told someone how beautiful and talented your spouse or partner is, and how fortunate you feel to have him or her in your life. Or maybe you've boasted about a gifted teacher you once had, or about how sensitive and helpful your doctor is. Or maybe you've taken delight, without being too proud, in talking about your children or your grandchildren. From time to time, we have opportunities to do this, to describe to someone else a remarkable person we've come to know and love. We're happy to testify to what we have seen and known in this person. We witness to our experience of them, and we enthusiastically commend them to others. This theme of witnessing or giving testimony to what one has seen or heard is prevalent in John's gospel. The principal witness in the gospel is Jesus himself, who testifies to what he has seen and heard of the one he calls his Father. And that was in the previous chapter of John 3. Sorry, it comes up in John 3. He knows the Father and reveals to the world the Father's nature and will. No one has ever seen God, writes the evangelist. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. Just as Jesus testifies to the Father, so too in John's Gospel there are a series of witnesses who testify to Jesus. Today's Gospel mentions one of the most important of those witnesses, John the Baptist. John sees Jesus and declares what has been revealed to him. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John points away from himself and what he's doing to Jesus and to what Jesus is doing. Jesus is a man who ranks ahead of me, says John. He is the one on whom I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. For this reason, I came baptizing with water, says John the Baptist, that he might be revealed to Israel. John boasts not in his own accomplishments or character, but in Jesus. There are other witnesses in John's gospel as well. We have Andrew, who is a witness. What does he say to his brother Simon Peter? We have found the Messiah. There's the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 as a witness. And she states, he told me everything I have ever done, and brings her neighbours to see and believe in him. We have the lame man beside the pool as a witness. And we have him, where's he at? John 5. The gospel writer tells us that he went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. We have the blind man as a witness. If this man were not from God, he declares to the disbelieving Pharisees in chapter 9, he could do nothing. Martha of Bethany is a witness. In the presence of her friends and neighbours, she declares her faith in Jesus. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world, she says in John 11. Mary Magdalene is a witness. She went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and she told them what he had said to her in John 20. Thomas is a witness. In the company of his fellow disciples, he declares his faith, my Lord and my God. We hear that in John 20. The beloved disciple is a witness. The gospel concludes with these words. This is the disciple who is testifying to those things, or to these things, and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. John 21. Witnesses, all of them, each pointing away from himself or herself to testify to Jesus, each articulating his or her own experience of Jesus, drawing from what they themselves have seen and heard, each stepping aside to recognize the one who ranks before us in all importance, each proclaiming his or her own unique version of the good news. That is what a witness does. We witness to Jesus. He is the one who is close to the Father's heart and who has made him known to us. He is the one who ranks ahead of us because he was before us. Through him, we've come to know God as love and ourselves as beloved children of God. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Witnesses to the Father's unconditional and always faithful love. Witnesses to the Son who came to bring us light and life. Witnesses to the transformation that has taken place and is taking place in our own lives, individually and collectively. Witnesses not to ourselves, but to Jesus. To be a witness requires authentic, first-hand experience. No one will accept the testimony of someone who admits that he was not actually present at the event, but only learned it from others. No one will believe someone who admits they've never actually met the person being discussed. If you are to be a credible witness, you have to be able to speak with authenticity and authority. You have to have some experience to report, some first-hand knowledge to share. Others can tell us about Jesus or point us towards God, but we will not be effective witnesses until we can say something about our own experience. We don't have to be eloquent. We only have to be authentic. In order to have something to testify about, we need that first-hand experience. Those who followed him were far from perfect. We hear of Jesus renaming Simon as Peter, the rock. And we know that Peter was the most likely candidate of all the disciples to speak foolishly and lose his temper and generally put his foot firmly in his mouth. Now, all of these things speak of hope to us. Hope that by our baptism, we've been made one with Christ and hear and receive his word through our prayers and encounters. Hope that we have been called to play our part in the bringing about of God's kingdom. Through many and varied callings of prayer, study, hospitality, kindness, friendship, and steadfast faith, amongst so many others. And hope that we too are acceptable to God, just as Jesus' far from perfect disciples were wholly acceptable to God, just as they were. So we hope that despite our mistakes and failings, we can see something of what God sees in us and each other, the part of ourselves which is in his image, and use it in pursuit of his kingdom in this place and at this time. Therefore, God's word for us today is one of invitation and command. Come and see. Jesus tells us, and then go out into all the world, testifying to what you have seen and heard concerning the word of life. Go to the poor and tell them the good news. Go to the blind and help them see. Go to the oppressed and set them free. Proclaim God's favor to everyone you meet. You are my witnesses. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.